This program is brought to you by Bible Way Media, overseen by the elders of the Chipman Road Church of Christ in Lee's Summit, Missouri.
Hello, and welcome to the podcast, Spiritual Appetizers, small devotional tidbits to stimulate the spiritual appetite. Matthew chapter 4 and verse 4 says, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God." Join us now as we go to the live broadcast of Spiritual Appetizers podcast. Welcome, and thank you for joining us in another live episode of Spiritual Appetizers Podcast, episode 207, Sin Cannot Reign in Our Lives, Adultery. The spiritual appetizer we will be using in this episode is from Romans chapter 6, verses 12 through 18. Church, we need to remember that as obedient disciples of Christ, we have been set free from sin. It can no longer reign in our lives, adultery. Turn with me now, and let's read Romans chapter 6, verses 12 through 18. "Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey its lust, and do not present yourselves as members, as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under law, but under grace. What then? Shall we continue in sin because we are not under law but under grace? Certainly not. Do you not know that to whom you present yourself slaves to obey, you are that one slave whom you obey, whether of sin leading to death or of obedience leading to righteousness? But God be thanked that though you were slaves of sin, yet you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine to which you were delivered. And having been set free from sin, you became slaves of righteousness." Church, we need to remember that as obedient disciples of Christ, we have been set free from sin. It can no longer reign in our lives, adultery. And whoever we present ourselves slaves to obey, we are that slave of whom we obey. If we're going to obey sin, then we're going to be a slave of the devil. If we're going to obey God, then we're going to be a slave of God. But we don't have a choice as to whether we're going to be a slave or not. We're going to be a slave of the devil or of God, one way or the other, of righteousness or of unrighteousness. But we don't have a choice. And according to Romans chapter 6, verse 17, "But God be thanked that though you were slaves of sin, yet you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine to which you were delivered." As children of God, we have been delivered from sin. We should no longer let it reign over our lives. Verse 12, "Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey its lust." And one of the lusts that we're going to talk about today is the lust of adultery, the sin of adultery, and how rampant it is in our culture, in the world today. Going all the way back to Exodus chapter 20 and verse 13, God warned about this sin. He said, "You shall not commit adultery." And one of the reasons why God desires us to be faithful to our spouses is, how can we be faithful to God if we do not even understand how to be faithful to our own spouse? If we don't understand how to live in a physical family and keep that family together running in proper order, how can we really be a part of God's family, extended family? "You shall not commit adultery." This is one of the Ten Commandments given to Israel. Now, we're not under the Ten Commandments today. They were crucified on the cross, Colossians chapter 2 and verse 14. But this principle remains constant because we're married to Christ in the New Testament. Christ is our husband, and we have to learn how to be faithful to him. And so keeping this commandment, not because it's a part of the old law, but because Jesus restates it in the New Testament, is definitely part of our law today. We should not commit adultery on our spouses. And if we do, then we don't understand how to be faithful to God, and we're committing adultery on God as well. And notice with me Malachi chapter 2 and verse 16. "For the Lord God of Israel says that he hates divorce, for it covers one's garments with violence, says the Lord of hosts. Therefore, take heed to your spirit that you do not deal treacherously." Now, something I want to point out here is that even if your spouse commits adultery on you, you do not have to divorce them. You can forgive them. Now, this is a sin that tears the family apart. It tears our relationship apart with God as well. But Jesus forgives us, because every time we sin against God, we're committing adultery against him. And he forgives us every time that we come back to him. In Romans chapter 3 and verse 23, it says, "For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God." But in Romans chapter 6 and verse 23, it says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus." And so every time we sin against God, we're committing spiritual adultery if we're a disciple of Christ. And every time we repent, he takes us back. In Luke chapter 13, verses 3 and 5, it says, "I tell you, nay, unless you repent, you shall all likewise perish." Jonah went to Nineveh. Nineveh was a horrible city, full of all kinds of different sins. These were Gentiles, and still God sent Jonah to preach to them. And when they repented, God relented and brought them back into a right relationship with him. Israel so many times went astray and went into captivity, but whenever they would cry out to the Lord, he would take them back. In Acts 2 and verse 38, after the first gospel sermon was preached, Peter said, "Repent and let each one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." If we repent, God will take us back. In Acts 17, verses 30 and 31, "Truly this time of ignorance God once overlooked, but now commands all men everywhere to repent. For he's appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness." Adultery is an absolutely horrible sin. And it's one that God gives an exception to the marriage rule. He says, if your spouse commits adultery on you, you can divorce your spouse for this. But Jesus does not divorce us every time we commit spiritual adultery against him. He takes us back. Now, he's given us a time limit. If we are not repentant by the time he comes back to judge the world, then we're going to be lost for all eternity. We are going to be lost. But as long as we are living, as long as we draw breath, we can come back to our husband. And so forgiveness is also something that is very important within the New Testament. We need to learn how to forgive. But adultery is absolutely horrible. Look at Proverbs chapter 6 and verse 31. "Whoever commits adultery with a woman lacks understanding. He who does so destroys his own soul." Destroys his own soul. This is how horrible of an atrocity that adultery is, because it resembles the relationship that we have with our Savior. He's our head. He's our husband. We are his body. We are his bride. And so when we commit sin against him, we're committing adultery against him. And so when we do that with our spouse down here, how can we understand how to have a spiritual relationship with God? And so the Proverbs writer says in Proverbs chapter 6 and verse 32, "Whoever commits adultery with a woman lacks understanding." Why does he lack understanding? Because Jesus in the New Testament would tell us that the law of marriage goes all the way back to the beginning, where it was supposed to be one man and one woman joined by God to be one until death do us part. Now, till death do us part is not in the scriptures, but the concept is definitely within the scriptures because the word of God says what God has joined together. This is a saying of Jesus: let no man put asunder. And so once it's joined by God, it's supposed to stay joined by God. This means that a husband and wife is supposed to be faithful to one another because they are one body. Let's go on to 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 through 11. "Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God." Notice all these things are lumped up into one thing. All of them are going to cause one to be lost. But in this list of things that are going to cost you to be lost is the idea of sexual immorality, fornication, adultery, homosexuals, sodomites. These things are going to cost you to be eternally lost. One's not worse than the other. All sin is the same to God. It all separates us from him, Isaiah chapter 59, verses 1 and 2. But adultery is right here in this list. It says if you do this, you're not going to go to heaven unless you repent and change your ways. You cannot continue in an adulterous lifestyle and expect God to accept you. It's not going to work that way. In verse 11 of 1 Corinthians chapter 6, it says, "And such were some of you, but you were washed, but you were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God." All these sins that are going to keep you out of the kingdom of heaven, you were washed of them. You were cleansed of them. Why do you keep continuing to go back to them? As Christians, why do we keep continuing to go back to the lifestyle we lived prior to becoming a Christian? How can we expect God to take us in that condition when we are fornicating, when we're idolaters, when we're living as an adulterer in the world? And so continuing on from there, going to Galatians chapter 5, verses 19 through 24, says, "Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murder, drunkenness, rivalries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I told you in times past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God." And so again, we see these list of sins that are going to keep us out of the kingdom of God. Now, honestly, any sin is going to keep us out of the kingdom of God if we don't repent of it, if we don't come back to God. But here's the ones that, as Paul looked out over the world, he saw these are the ones that you're struggling with. Quit it. Because if you practice these things, if you live this way, God's not going to accept you into heaven. And adultery is first on this list. Now, the works of the flesh, adultery. You know, stay faithful to your wife. If you know how to stay faithful to your wife, there's a good possibility that through study and building faith in your life, you're going to know how to stay faithful to God. And so the first one on his list, he says, is the lust of the flesh. You can look at other women and you can see all kinds of things. Well, the grass is always greener on the other side of the fence, but don't do it. Instead, in verses 22 through 24, he gives the solution. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And so build the fruit of your life, Spirit, in your life, and you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. And he says there's one way that we start this. He said all these things from 19 to 21, they're lusts of the flesh. And in order to be a disciple of Christ, there's something you have to do with your life. In verse 24, it says, "And those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passion and desires." You have to crucify the flesh. If you don't, then your flesh is going to get in the way. You have to put it to death and live by the Spirit. Crucify the flesh with its passion and desires, because it's our passion and desires that get us in trouble. We want something better. We want something else other than what God wants us to have. We want adultery. We want fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murder, drunkenness, rivalries. We want all those things. Our flesh wants those things, but Paul says, crucify it. In Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20, Paul said, that's what I did. Notice with me, Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20. Galatians chapter 2. And verse 20. Well, I don't have it up on my screen, but it says, "I've been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yea, not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I have crucified myself. Nevertheless, I live. Yea, not I, but Christ." Christ has to live through your life. He would tell the Romans, in Romans chapter 12, "to present yourselves as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is our reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and perfect will of God." We have to crucify ourselves. We have to offer ourselves as a living sacrifice. Why? So that we can put our passion and desires to death and live for him. It's only when we put our passion and desires to death that we get rid of all these other sinful lifestyles out of our life. Before we do that, before we put it to death, those are the things that we want to do. That's the things, that ways that we want to live. And Paul says, don't do that. Don't live that way. Now, talking about adultery, in Matthew chapter 5, verses 31 and 32, it says, "Furthermore, it has been said, whoever divorces his wife, let him give her a certificate of divorce. But I say to you, whoever divorces his wife for any reason except sexual immorality causes her to commit adultery, and whoever marries a woman who is divorced commits adultery." We need to take our marriages seriously. We need to work through our problems. We need to love one another so much that we are willing to work through every problem that arises in our marriage. Because Jesus says the only reason for divorce is a spouse that is not faithful. Fornication. If one commits adultery on his spouse. That's the only reason for divorce. But we have people out in the world that are divorcing for any and every reason. And when they do that, they make a mockery out of the marriage that God has designed to be a representative of his son's relationship with his church. In Matthew chapter 19, reading verses 4 through 9, it says, "And he answered and said to them, have you not read that he who made them at the beginning made them male and female, and said, for this reason a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh." And so when you get married, you become one with your spouse, spiritually one with them. They're no longer two. "So then, they are no longer two but one flesh. Therefore, what God has joined together, let no man separate." This would include the two in the marriage. Don't separate it. God's joined you together. He's brought you together. And he says, this is supposed to be till death. And they said to him, "Why then did Moses command to give a certificate of divorce and put her away?" And Jesus said, "You have a total misunderstanding of what's going on here." Reading now verses 8 through 9, "And he said to them, Moses, because of the hardness of your hearts, permitted you to divorce your wives. But from the beginning it was not so. And I say to you, whoever divorces his wife except for sexual immorality and marries another commits adultery. And whoever marries her who is divorced commits adultery." We need to remember this when we get married. Marriage is something that is supposed to last forever. It's God taking two separate people and joining them together as one, so that we can understand the oneness that we're supposed to have with Christ, the Father, and the Spirit, John chapter 17 and verse 11. It's in marriage that we truly understand this oneness. And when we decide to break it up, how can we truly understand the oneness of God? When we decide to break it up for any other reason other than an unfaithful spouse, which is the only reason God divorced Israel's, because Israel decided that they didn't want to be faithful, and they refused, absolutely refused to be faithful to him. So eventually God said, okay. But he took them back time and time and time again. That's the love that we should have for our spouse. So as we go about our lives today, let's take this little bit of food and apply it to our lives, digest it into our lives, and mold our lives around the Word of God. This has been Spiritual Appetizers, small devotional tidbits to stimulate the spiritual appetite. Thank you. So, as we go about our lives today, let's take this little bit of food and apply it to our lives, digest it into our lives, and mold our lives around the Word of God. This has been Spiritual Appetizers, small devotional tidbits to stimulate the spiritual appetite. Thank you.
We thank you for listening today. We hope you enjoyed this program. You can find out more about Byway Media by visiting our website, bywaymedia.org. You can find all of our podcasts on all major podcast platforms. As always, we thank you for listening.